I'm a millennial and I like Facebook. Shocker, right? But one thing I love about Facebook is the connection, the network, but being able to stay connected with friends and family when you can't physically be there to celebrate or mourn with them. You can at least be there to know what's going on. And now, so my dad recently celebrated his 54th birthday, and I love that he is 1,200 miles away, so I can say his age out loud and I can't get in trouble. Love that. But leave it to my family, who is notorious for not doing anything on time, to celebrate his birthday later. So they did it last week. His birthday was in January, in case you were wanting reference. So my dad and the family went out to this restaurant that I know they go to for nostalgia, but it's just not good at all. This is a restaurant, a family establishment that my dad went to with his family when he was a boy. And so they would go there every year for his birthday, and there was an organ, an old-fashioned family diner setting, and deep-fried chicken. It's the middle of Nebraska, mind you. Y'all know chicken. Can't say the same. So we'd go there. And yes, it is for the nostalgia of it, because yes, we go there and we celebrate. But I was talking to my mom on the phone about it, and I saw the pictures on Facebook that my uncle posted, and what was really funny was they invited my significant other to also go without me. And so at one end of the table, I see his pictures, and at the other end of the table, I see my uncle posting pictures of said significant other taking pictures. So I've got a well-rounded view of what's going on here. And I'm talking to my mom, and we're kind of reminiscing, and I said, you know, those pictures are as if I was there. And I started telling her what I imagined it to be. I imagined it that I would sit between my grandmother and my mom, who would be talking over me, making passive-aggressive comments about how we should definitely consider going to a different restaurant. I don't know why Darren wants to come here every year for his birthday, and something about an iceberg lettuce and literally being an iceberg of lettuce. And then you move on, and other than those onion rings, they are to die for. Oh, I will eat a plate of those onion rings. But other than that, I'm usually full by the end of the appetizer because I've stuffed my face, so then I'm getting in trouble for getting a to-go box because I can't eat my main course meal. And then, of course, there's that big finale picture of my dad with a complimentary bowl of ice cream and a sparkler in there, everybody singing happy birthday. And the only thing I can think of is, I guarantee you my dad didn't even eat that. It's not keto-friendly. And my mom's response was, wow, it's like you were there. Yeah. Because I got the picture. But as I'm still talking to her about this, I started tearing up because I wasn't there. My whole family was together and I was not there. And I got homesick. Really, really homesick. Now, the funny thing about this conversation is I'm tearing up, I'm starting to get really emotional. I tell my mom I'm homesick, and she asks, why are you homesick? And it kind of took me back for a second, like caught me off guard, because I couldn't answer her. I didn't have a response. Because being homesick, I realized, is not something that you can necessarily explain. It's something you feel. And I didn't know what exactly was happening other than the fact that I'm here, I'm 1,200 miles away from home, and if you take a car and not stop for gas, stop for the bathroom, stop for food or sleep, you can get there in 18 and a half hours. That's a bunch of ifs. Not my best state of mind when I have to make that trip home. But I'm homesick. And it hurts in its own way, where I never know how to respond to it. Now we look at the prodigal son. You've got a dad and two sons. One who stays behind with the family, takes care of the house and the farm, and takes care of dad. And you've got the other one who ventures off and clearly needs some adventure and makes a few mistakes along the way. But if you look, there's a reason I stopped at the scripture, in the scripture that I did, because oftentimes we forget to take into consideration and empathize with the son who ran away. We often want to side with the son who stayed because we want justice for him. We want him to get the fairness that he deserves because he did all the hard work. But in all honesty, I relate better to the son who left. Because again, I'm 1,200 miles away and my siblings are still at home. Granted, I'm not living a very luxurious lifestyle and I'm not spending my entire inheritance. Also, my parents are ministers. What inheritance? I mean, I'm doing some things with my life. Those are great. I've got a family here. I've got I've established an identity. I've got friends, one of which came to see me preach today. This is my friend Evelyn, by the way. So, I'm doing okay. I'm not living this wild lifestyle by any means, but I still resonate with him and I still want to empathize with him because what we don't empathize with is, haven't we all felt lost before? Didn't we all make mistakes growing up? Yeah, I paved the way for my siblings to live the glorious life of the great children. They're clearly the favorites. I paved that way for them. They're welcome. But the greatest thing that I remember growing up was, yeah, I made mistakes. Yeah, I made some dumb mistakes. But when I talk about it with my mom later, she said, I knew half the things you were doing. Don't think I'm that naive. We knew exactly where you were. Also, there's a reason we gave you a cell phone in the eighth grade. Fair enough. But she said, she ended it with, but we never stopped you because we knew you needed to learn from your mistakes. And you always knew to come home. You always knew that you were allowed and you were welcomed home and you were never scared to come home. You were scared of the butt whooping you were gonna get when you got home, but you still came home. And that's true. The prodigal son goes off and goes on this adventure, makes a few mistakes along the way, and of course, hits rock bottom. And that's when he realizes that he made a grave mistake. But I have to give props to the dad here for good parenting. Because no matter how long the kid was gone and what his son did, he was ready to apologize and admit that he was wrong. And he came home. I know I'm not worthy to be your son. I know that I have made mistakes and I have dishonored you. But I want to come home. And it's a good parenting skill for this because what did the dad do? Welcome home, son. And he grabbed him and gave him this big hug and I stopped and I started bawling while I was reading this because it made me start thinking of the hugs that I get from my mom. My mom has one of those hugs. I know you know what I'm talking about, where you are just engulfed in her arms. Fathers too, my dad gives pretty decent hugs too, I'll give him that. But she engulfs me with her arms to the point where it's concerning about, should I be breathing right now? No, I'm just gonna embrace this, okay. But still, there's enough room for me to have that sigh of relief. And there's a smell that comes with those hugs. We all know the smell. For me, it's coffee. My mom smelled like coffee since I was born. I don't know why, but it's all the time. But it's like a permanent smell. But the smell of coffee and the feel of her body heat just acting like a blanket over me. I know when I get one of these hugs, it's the greatest feeling in the world because it means I'm home. And I get to be with her. That's what I get from this story. But then I wonder further, what makes a home? What makes it worth missing? What gives it its longing purpose? Because you hear the phrases, a home is never the house, it's the people you're with. Granted, there's a few memories, give and take, in a house. That makes it a home. But it's the people. And then we look at the story and connect that with this church. Do you call this church your home? I mean, this church would just be a building if you weren't here. We have suppers here and luncheons. We have classes. We teach together and learn together. You trust your kids to be here. It's a safe space. It's a welcoming place. But is it your home? And if it's not, and you can't answer me, then there's a problem that we need to figure out. Because as we learn in the prodigal son, this is God's house, this is God's home, and we are all welcome to it. No matter how far we stray, no matter where our journey takes us, no matter what mistakes you make, you are always allowed to come home. No doubt. And God will be standing there with arms open wide, ready with a feast and welcoming you back home because we are God's children. No matter what. But now we need to take it a step further. Because we're supposed to use our faith to resemble God's image. So how are we making this church our home? There's a lot of members in this family. That's a lot of accommodations to make. But it's worth it. God loves us. God's welcoming us home. It's our job to help everybody feel at home. Because this building is just a building. If you aren't here, I miss home. I get teary-eyed thinking about all the things that I'm missing while I'm gone. But what keeps me going is knowing that here, I'm still a newcomer, but I found a home away from home. I found people to care about me and love on me and feed me. And accept me, and it gives me that little piece of home that I need to let me know that God is near. And I look forward to the day that I get to go home and endure one of my mom's famous hugs. Because I know that's a safe place, and I know that no matter what mistakes I could ever make and the mistakes that I have made in my life, I'm still loved. And I want to finish with a quote that I found while I was Googling home. It's amazing what you can find on Google. But this quote kind of sums everything up pretty perfectly. Home is where love resides. Memories are created. Friends always belong. And laughter never ends. A house is made of bricks and beams. A home is made of hopes and dreams. Whether you are the prodigal son or the son who stayed home, the point is love. The point is, if you are lost, there is a way to be found. And you can find that by just coming home. Amen. We're going to continue through our worship service today with our prayers. As I just mentioned about being homesick and being at home, one of our jobs as a family is to take care of others that could not be here with us today or just need a little extra love and support. So this morning, I would like to offer up travel mercies for Ed and his son Evan as they come home from a wedding in Washington, D.C. So Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
I would also like to lift up Annie. We heard a few weeks ago from Jana about her daughter's friend who was in a really terrible car accident. Learning the details of that accident, wow. God works in amazing ways. But unfortunately, she does have a very long journey of recovery, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. So we lift her up in our prayers for a quick recovery, but also a healing recovery. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Looking in our prayer journal this morning, we're praying for Hanky McFadden. Right? Did I say that correctly? Okay. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
The family of Steve Garrett and Bill Wren. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Just a moment of personal prayer here. Stacy, is great to have you with us. We've been keeping you on our prayer list, and we are glad to have you here with us again. We pray for continued recovery and healing, but also welcome home. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
One other prayer too. I know I mentioned this earlier, but y'all are dropping like flies. We've got Lily out, and Nicholas out, and Caroline's out. And those are just three kids. I'm sure with all the empty space in these pews, there's a few more that need to be added to the list. But take care of yourselves. And let's pray for those who are under the weather. Pray for parents who have to go home to that. I pray you don't get sick, but also that they get to be home and be comforted and loved and helped during this time of the icky flu. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Are there any other prayers to offer up this morning? The Russell family? Yes. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Justin Hubbard. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Are there any others? Will you please pray with me? Tender and compassionate God, whose strength is made perfect in our weakness, shine on us today, for we need the light and salvation you offer. Come to each one gathered here, and to all who are in this community of faith, refreshing and renewing and healing us with the power of your loving spirit. Help us so that we may live with purpose and enthusiasm and courage. Come with good news of health and wholeness for all. Lord, we need your strength and we need your guidance. But now we offer a moment of silence for those prayers by which words cannot convey. Loving God, we take all of our prayers and we combine them into one, praying as you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I won't forget this time. Promise. But how generous are the fits of God poured out to us that we might know the joy of giving. The psalmist reminds us that it is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice and give to the poor. Our offerings proclaim God's will in word and deed. Will our ushers please wait upon us?